Performing at this year's KeyBank Fringe Festival is Banachek, a mentalist, magician, mind reader. He says he used his abilities to trick scientists into believing that he has genuine psychic abilities. Banachek has 4 shows scheduled at Fringe, but first he's spending a few minutes with us here on Morning Edition. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you. I'm honored.
What is the difference between a mentalist and a psychic?
So a psychic claims they have these abilities outside the boundaries of known science, really, basically something we cannot explain. A mentalist takes its 5 known senses to create the illusion of a 6th sense, and that's a very fancy way of saying, hey, I'm going to be using magic tricks, psychology, verbal, nonverbal communication, to make it look like I am truly psychic when I'm not. Now, mentalists, by the very term of mentalist, is basically they're saying that I'm really not a psychic. I ran the Randy $1 million Foundation for many years. I had $1 million for any psychic that could do anything under proper scientific controls and never found a single one.
Oh, so you don't believe there is such a thing as a psychic, or you just haven't found one yet?
I can say I haven't found one. And after looking at so many from mediums to people that bend metal to people that read palms and all those things, the moment we put it under some sort of scientific controls, the ability fades. It disappears. Now, maybe that's part of the phenomena itself. Maybe it doesn't like to be studied. Who knows?
That's maybe it's what they performance say. Anxiety.
Could well be that. Absolutely could be that. But we usually find the explanations in the end when we start searching and we're researching. We find out what's truly going on.
I read on your website that you developed these talents as a child because you had a difficult childhood. Can you talk about how you got started doing this?
Yeah, well, when I was a young kid, I was abandoned in South Africa. I was 9. I had 2 brothers, 1 year and 3 years old. And in South Africa, they had no TV at the time. What they did have was radio, Springbok radio. And I was sitting listening to the radio, and there was a man on there by the name of Uri Geller. Now, Uri Geller was known all around the world.
Sure.
The young generation may not know who he is, but he's the guy who started metal bending, spoon bending, fork bending, you know, where they say there is no fork or there is no spoon. That all comes as a result of Uri Geller. He was studied at Stanford Research Institute, claimed they said he was a genuine psychic. A couple of people did there. It was my contention back in those days that there was no evidence of ESP under proper scientific control because of the pro-biased opinion of the scientists. In other words, they were not using proper science. They were basically trying to document their own beliefs. But anyway, I'm in South Africa. I'm listening to the radio. And Geller's on the radio, and he says, if you bring metal objects to the radio, you can get it to bend too. So I went and found a little pin in the sewing kit that my mom had left behind, and I held it up, and I concentrated, and I believed it was going to bend. And in my mind, and it was more of a psychological thing, I believed it had bent, but minutely, so minutely, you know, but I just believed it had bent. And all the adults that I did know, they believed in Uri Geller. So I had believed in these powers, too. It wasn't until I read a book by James the Amazing Randi called The Truth About Uri Geller, Magic of Uri Geller back then, but the title was changed. And the truth, he said, was that Geller was nothing more than a magician using tricks. Nobody had told me that before. And from that, I started saying, if he can do it, I can do it. So I started to create methods to bend silverware, so much so that when I was in school, all the kids were stealing the silverware from the cafeteria. I got in trouble for that. They went to plasticware until I graduated. I figured a way to make it look like I was psychically making the bell go off early, so we'd get out of school early. I got in trouble for that as well. But I was doing all these different things. And it was after that that I actually went in the laboratory for 4 years, convinced the scientists I was a genuine psychic, and then came out and said it was all a hoax. And that started my entertainment career. I'm really a troubleshooter. You know, basically, you give me something, a problem, and I will solve it. And that's what I do with magic. I create magic for people like Chris Angel, David Blaine, people like that, and I consult for them. And they say, I want to do this, and I figure out many different ways of actually performing that.
All right. So 4 different Fringe audiences will be seeing your show. What can they expect at your show?
Well, they're going to get my life story. The whole first half of the show is about telepathy. What is telepathy? What did different people think telepathy was? What did Einstein, Marie Curie, you know, Sigmund Freud, what did they think telepathy was? And I'm doing demonstrations all the way through. I'm doing what mediums do. I talk to the dead. I bend metal with my mind, apparently. I read thoughts. I just have people stand up, think of playing cards, and I immediately tell them what cards they're thinking of from their body language. And I go through all these things, and in the end, I basically say, hey, this is not real. And a lot of those other people that you see are charlatans as well. Why can I say this? Now I go through my entire life story. The end is going to be me playing a Russian roulette with knives, so I put my life on the line every single show. And it is indeed dangerous. Other people have tried to emulate me, and they have failed.
Will there be a lot of audience interaction in the show at all?
Every single thing I do is audience interaction. So everything I do. And I have a brand new podcast, by the way, which is Banachek's Brain. I just want to mention that because it's in the top 300 right now on iTunes, and I'm very proud of that. And it goes into detail on a lot of these psychological type techniques that I use, and we're going to be talking about those on there as well.
Banachek's Brain.
Banachek's Brain, yes.
All right, I'll put a link to that on our website.
Find that on iTunes.
So you lift the veil a little bit? Do magicians, mind readers want people to know what the trick
it's
is?
It's really interesting because when I started performing as a mentalist, I didn't want people to think that I was genuine. I felt I had a responsibility to remind people this is all an illusion because I didn't want to create these belief systems and set them up being scammed by other people. So I was one of the very first mentalists to start saying, this is an illusion. It's all a trick. And a lot of other mentalists started getting very upset with me at first. And they said, there's no place for a fake mind reader. And then I took College Entertainer of the Year 2 years in a row, Novelty Entertainer of the Year in the college market, getting all kinds of accolades in the corporate market, doing shows. And they were like, well, maybe there is a way. And it sort of started this whole new area, another new way of sort of presenting what a mentalist is and what a mentalist does. And now most mentalists use this sort of psychological theme, but a lie is a lie is a lie. You can't say it's all psychology because there is magic mixed in with it, but it's sort of the grown-up form of magic.
Banachek, you made a prediction back in July about what would be on the front page of the Rochester Democrat and Chronicle this morning. Later this morning, and this prediction was sealed up and stored at Key Bank?
It was stored at Key Bank. Well, it's Key Bank. It's at in a briefcase locked, but they also signed it. They all signed every single one of the envelopes. They even signed the prediction itself. We're going to be opening that this morning at the bank, and we'll see if I'm right. You know, I'm a little bit nervous about it. That's, needless
to
say.
Have you ever been wrong on a big prediction like this, something where you were like on the spot?
I have absolutely been wrong about things. And it's embarrassing when it happens, but you know what? It's the nature of what I do. So it's going to be one of those things. When we open it later today, it's going to be, you know, I'm nervous. I'm nervous about it. Yeah.
Can anyone learn to do what you do?
That's an interesting question, isn't it? So if I say, can anyone learn how to play the piano? The answer to that is most people.
To varying degrees.
How well can they do it? Exactly right. So it's the same thing that I do. It's, you can sit down and you can try to play the piano. You may not do it well. Someone else may sit down and do it right away. I'm a natural for this. I got lucky. I found the one thing that I'm really, really good at. So I teach other people. I have books for other mentalists. Every single mentalist that you see performing today is probably performing at least two or three of my effects that I've created. So I do teach other people, not so much one-on-one, but through my writings and through my presentations.
What talents and abilities and traits do you have that make you good at this? Are you incredibly observant?
I am very observant when I want to be observant, which means people say, do you do this all the time? No, I don't. I do it when I'm on stage because then I'm focused. Then I know that I have to do it in that moment. If I'm off stage, I'm not looking at people's body language. I'm not using it in that way. It's work to me. I guess when I was young, you know, it's like work, anything you do when you're young, you get so excited, you get so caught up in it. And then later on, it becomes, you turn it off. You know, you've got your kids, you've got your grandkids, you've got your family, you've got, you know, you go fishing, you do all these other things. You don't want to be constantly on all the time. I don't want to be on stage all the time. I want my private time. I want my relaxed time. So, yeah, it's not every day, 100% all the time.
Yeah, that makes sense. Just like, anyone who goes to work, you don't want to do that and be that every moment of every day.
I don't.
You need a break from that. Yeah.
Absolutely, I don't.
Yeah. Do people tease you about that, though? Do people say, oh, what am I thinking now, Banachek?
All the time. And my comeback to them usually is, you think I'm working, don't you? And they go, that's not what I was thinking. I say, think about my reply for a second, you know, and they go, oh, yeah, I guess I did think you were working. Yeah.
That's Banachek. He has four shows at this year's Fringe. They're September 13th, 14th, 20th, 22nd, all of them at the School of the Arts. And I am sure it's going to be a great show.
I get standing ovations at every single performance that I do. So I'm hoping I get them here, which I'm sure we will. And that all depends on the audience. You know, we get a great crowd. We get a full crowd. We have a lot of fun. Like I said, it's all audience interaction. It's a back and forth, and everybody's involved.
Welcome to Rochester. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.